Thank you, Jerry. And Joe, we'll talk to you tomorrow night. Those Minnesota Twins, losers of 7 in a row. So no doubt, people will be expecting a sweep. It might not happen. And even if it doesn't, everything's okay. The Blue Jays are still in first place. Yes, they squandered an opportunity this week here against the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. But while they were losing twice to a last-place team, so were the Boston Red Sox. The Baltimore Orioles lost today, so the Jays and Sox still tied for first, a game up on the Orioles in the American League East. This is how pennant races work. And the Blue Jays have 35 games left, and you know what? I would say there's about a 90% chance that it's going to come down to the last three games of the season when the Blue Jays are in Boston, no matter what happens between now and then. September 30th to October 2nd, we will see how that goes. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We'll take your calls to the top of the hour. We'll likely hear from John Gibbons and maybe another or two of the protagonists in this game for the Blue Jays. But right now, let's hear from you. Dave is in Vancouver. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mike, how are you doing tonight there?
Doing all right. Go ahead,
yeah,
sir.
A little frustrated. Basically, you really want to beat, every dog has a day in the sun. And when these teams are going to win 70 games all year, you know, you've got to take care of business, as one of the great rock and roll bands, BTO, said. And unfortunately,
well, you'd like to. You don't have to. You'd like to. They didn't,
well,
and they're still in first place.
Good idea. And, you know, this is a stretch run. I think, Mike, you would agree with me that if we can play 500 in the world, that's pretty good. But at home, you've got to be winning these games because Boston's going to have a hell of a long road trip. They're coming home. And so we got to think about that. Baltimore, well, you're right. We're going to be playing them. You know, the one thing is, as people point out, we've had a lineup that basically, for the record players, we've only had the same lineup four times. On the other hand, our starters, my goodness, have been very, very healthy. Estrada, a few games. You know, obviously, we had, in the case, Sanchez resting now, et cetera. But in general, we've been very healthy there. So you're right. I mean, it comes down to the crunch. It maybe comes down to the final. But I tell you what scares me, Mike, and this is a problem that was not solved. And, you know, I talked about the subject earlier in the year. I wasn't concerned about the starting pitching. I thought it would be okay, but the bullpen concerned me. And right now, he was brilliant last year. He almost set a record there, or maybe he did. Mike, you can correct me on that. Right now, can we depend on him? We just don't know. Who else is a left-hander there? We don't know. But a team like Cleveland can come up with five switch hitters on us. We don't have that left-hand bullpen, and that's what killed us in the playoffs last year. Anyway, it will be fun. I mean, we got 3 million fans, exciting baseball, etc. But the Jay fans want that playoffs, and I'd hate to think that we're going to say would have, could have, should have, and gee, what about those games that we should have won?
Every team has tons of those, and these are, you know, and what we forget about when you talk about the woulda, coulda, shoulda is what's interesting, and thanks for the call, Dave. What's interesting is that, yeah, everybody always goes, oh, should have won this game, should have won that game, should have won that game. What about the games that you won that you should have lost? Because there's always a bunch of those. So, look, yes, they lost 2 out of 3 to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim are in last place. They are a bad team, and the Blue Jays just lost 2 out of 3 to them at home. That's true. What does it mean? Well, it means that the Blue Jays are in first place in the American League East right now, tied with the Boston Red Sox. Did they lose an opportunity? Yes. The same opportunity that the Boston Red Sox lost, because they just lost 2 games to a last-place team, too. So these things happen. The Blue Jays aren't going to win the division by 6 games again, or they're highly unlikely to do that. They're not going to run away with it. The Boston Red Sox are good. The Baltimore Orioles are hanging in there. And the Blue Jays are slowly making their way back to full strength. Like Dave said, 4 games. It's been 5 games where the Blue Jays have had their regular starting lineup in the game. And when I talk about regular starting lineup, I am saying Russell Martin, Edwin Encarnacion, Devin Travis, Troy Tulowitzki, Josh Donaldson, Kevin Pillar, Jose Bautista, and one of Justin Smoke and Melvin Upton Jr. 5 times this season the Blue Jays have had that lineup. Now Michael Saunders is out. I didn't mention Saunders. Saunders is the other guy in there. Saunders with a hamstring. We don't know when he'll be back. Devin Travis hopefully will be back soon. And look, we all agree that the Blue Jays are not playing well right now. And yet they're 12-10 in August. And while 12-10 doesn't sound like much, if you prorate that to 162 games, that's 88 wins. Is that enough to win a division? Probably not. Is it something you should be thrilled with while your team is not playing well, that they're still playing at an 88-win pace? Yes, you should be thrilled. Individual games can be very frustrating, and when you lose 4 out of 5, which is what the Blue Jays have done right now, 4 out of 6, it's frustrating. And I think a lot of it is because we were spoiled last year when the Blue Jays almost didn't lose at all in August and September. But that's not realistic. That was historical. That never happens. And it's not going to happen again. This is a team that's going to win 2 out of 3, win 3 out of 5, 4 out of 7. And that's a lot of losses. But that's what you do, and you wind up winning a division. Frustrating week, though, and they lose tonight 6-3 as Jared Weaver just continues to befuddle the Blue Jays. It is amazing that a guy who, I don't know if he broke 83 tonight, and he is now 11-2 lifetime against the Blue Jays. Let's go to Robert in Raglan, Quebec. Hey, Robert.
Mike.
Hi.
I wanted to talk about Brett Cecil again. I heard Greg Zahn's comment about what Calhoun's average was against lefties and then righties, and he was wondering why Gibby would put Cecil in there. And I was just wanted you to put your Gibby hat on and think about next time there's a tempting situation to just throw the lefty at du jour that we have in there for a lefty-lefty matchup. Whether you do it or whether you just go with a keep going with Biagini or whoever's in there as a right-hander and just say, well, let's keep going with a pitcher that's in there and that's doing well.
Yeah, you know what? Cole Calhoun has very good numbers against lefties this season, and Brett Cecil does not. Cole Calhoun, for his career, is a little bit worse against lefties than he is against righties, but there's no significant platoon split there. If you're asking me to think like John Gibbons, then I think that John Gibbons believes that Brett Cecil has it in him to turn his season around and become a big weapon for the Blue Jays down the stretch. And that's why he keeps going to him, and he keeps trying, and he keeps asking, Brett Cecil, get me a big out. And it's not happening. It's not happening. And I thought that after Sunday, when Cecil gave up that home run, that would be it for Brett Cecil in high-leverage situations for a while. Now, this wasn't a situation where the Blue Jays had the lead and it was a close game. This was, they're already down 2. There's 2 out. This is not a chance for him to blow a game. Let's see if you can get this left-handed batter out, because I want to believe that you can help me in September and into the playoffs. And he didn't do it. And so, you know, I think that the leverage is going to be backed off again. Benoit Grilly to Asuna, 7-8-9, is working really nicely. You have Joe Biagini, who has been spectacular. You don't need a lefty to just have a lefty. It would be great. But until you can trust Brett Cecil again, and you may not be able to, you can't put him in high leverage spots.
Oh, that's the answer I was expecting. Thanks, Mike. Do you think I'll leave by saying, do you think they're going to try to get a lefty before the August 31st trade deadline?
I think they're trying. It's tough to, you know, because everyone's looking for one, right? And so if it's a guy who's coming from the National League, he has to get through the entirety of the National League and then get through every team but 3 in the American League to get to the Blue Jays. If he's in the American League, he has to get through all these teams that are fighting for a wild card spot below the Blue Jays before he gets to them. So it's not going to be easy, but we'll see. Thank you for the call, Robert. Appreciate it. Blue Jays lose at 6-3 to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. We will step away, and when we come back, we'll hear more of your calls, and we'll hear from the skipper, John Gibbons. As the Blue Jays get doubled up, they lose the series. Boston and Baltimore lose as well, so the Blue Jays remain tied for first in the AL East, a game ahead of the Orioles, and 6.5 ahead, or pardon me, 5.5 ahead of the New York Yankees. It's Blue Jays talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network. 28 home runs among his 49 extra base hits, and there's another one, a fly ball, deep center field, forget it! Home run number 29 for Josh Donaldson, hammered into the flight deck in dead center, makes it 2-0 Blue Jays. Things were good then. Donaldson, with his 60th extra base hit of the season, 26 doubles, 5 triples, and 29 home runs. Made it 2-0, but then the roof fell in on Jay Happ in the top of the sixth inning. Happ had retired 13 Angels in a row and had given up just 2 hits, but Caleb Cowart doubled off of him to start the bottom or the top of the sixth, and then Jay made that cardinal sin of walking the 9-hitter. After that, single by Cole Calhoun to load the bases, 2-run single by Mike Trout to tie the game, RBI single by Albert Pujols to put the Angels ahead, and that was it for Happ. On came Joe Biagini, got a double play ball out of C.J. Crone that made it 4-2 before getting the flyout that ended the game, and Trout would hit a 2-run single off of Joaquin Benoit in the 7th inning. And the Angels go on to beat the Blue Jays 6-3. The good news, besides the fact that the Red Sox and Orioles also lost, the good news is that Jose Bautista is back, and he returned to the lineup by going 1-for-4 with a double and a sac fly and drove in a couple of runs. Blue Jays lose, though, 6-3. And we're Blue Jays talking it up to the top of the hour. Let's go to Jason in Scarborough. Hey, Jason.
Hi, Mike. How are you today?
I'm all right, thank you. Go ahead.
Jason, I'm just saying that everybody's getting on Gibby about Cecil and this and that and about the pitching crew, but the bullpen has been, if there's one coach that hasn't really done his job this year, it's Pete Walker. I don't think that that...
Are you kidding? This is a joke, right?
No, wait.
Honestly, Jason, you're kidding.
Let me talk to you here.
Listen, well, Pete Walker, the Blue Jays have the best pitching staff in the league.
That doesn't really matter now in the scope of baseball. It's
okay.
Like pitchers are going 5 or 6 innings, and now the bullpens are solid. Look at Boston's bullpen. Look at Baltimore's bullpen. I think that's what's going to get us in the end.
Boston's bullpen is awful.
Hey, it's like better than our bullpen.
No, it's not.
I would switch bullpens with them any day and say,
okay,
you take ours, I'll take yours.
That's
and I
one
bet
of
you
the reasons
the
you're not a general manager.
But no, but I'm saying Pete Walker doesn't when he goes to Gibby and says this guy's ready, and I think he's suggesting to Pete Walker Pete Walker's telling him, but Gibby has.
I think Jason, here's what I'm going to tell you, and I appreciate the call. Actually, I don't, but thank you for calling. I think you've called before to complain about Pete Walker, and I think I dismissed you as easily and as readily as I just did again now, and for some reason you've got this. Burr in your saddle about Pete Walker. You think Pete Walker makes the pitching changes, and you think when things don't work out, it's Pete Walker's fault, and it doesn't matter that the Blue Jays have the best starting rotation in the game or in the league, and that their bullpen has been, I think, the best in the league since the beginning of July. To call into this show and suggest that Pete Walker is a problem indicates a level of nothing I can say politely on the radio. I don't understand how a sane and rational human being can have a problem with the pitching coach of this team. All right, we're going to take a little bit of a break from the calls for a second to hear from the manager. The Blue Jays lose 6-3 to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. The Jays have dropped 4 out of 6. They remain tied first place in the American League East with the Boston Red Sox, a game ahead of the Baltimore Orioles. Here's what John Gibbons had to say about tonight's loss.
Gibby, the damage had already started when Happ was hit in the foot, but could you describe what happened in that inning and offer your opinion on it?
Well, you know, he was rolling right along. I thought he was really good tonight. And then, started off with that double down the right field line, right inside the line. And then I think the big hitter was Petit, walking Petit. And then it kind of opened up some things. And then, the ball that he got hit, hair this way or that, could be right at Tulo, possibly. And then, it kind of opens up some things, And then, Biagini came in and bailed us out and kept it close. But we couldn't really get anything going after that anyway. So but I thought he was good. I mean, stuff was good tonight.
John, you've made the point often that you guys need a score to win, and it's been the last week and a half or so kind of erratic. Do you feel that your offense is hitting into some bad luck? You're getting the hard contact. Do you like what you see, say for the lack of runs, or what's your sense of what's going on?
Well, there's no doubt we've cooled off. We've been on that stretch. That's due to change. It always does. But we've fallen behind. We haven't been able to really mount any, get in the situation, get that big hit to climb back in it, or even, open up some games. But, that'll change. It was similar earlier in the season, and that, eventually changed. There's not a lot of season left, but, we're due. I think we're throwing some good at-bats up there. The balls we're hitting right now, a lot of them are going right at guys. So that's part of it. Like it or not, that's part of it.
Give me the way that Bautista ran out that double in the ninth, does that give you pause in terms of where you're going to bat him from now on?
I mean, how his knee? You mean, Rich. He said no limitations. He's feeling really, really good. And, yeah, I thought he was moving around pretty good tonight, so. Yeah, that's big because, you always have that doubt in your back of your mind. You hear things and how a guy's doing or what have you. And when you see it yourself, it kind of eases it. We got a couple guys banged up. We don't need any more,
You don't see him too often, but Trout really wore you guys out the past couple of days. Approach-wise, that's just kind of him? There's really no great way to pitch him?
Trout? Well, Trout and Pujols. They're both locked in. One's going to the Hall of Fame. One eventually probably will, they're swinging good. One thing about Trout, he's got that short, compact swing, so he's tough to pitch to, he can turn around anybody's fastball. He's that good. And, he was in the ball right field, left field, didn't matter against us. So he was he was really locked in. And then Albert's been doing it his whole career, and he had a big-time series, so.
How is Happ?
How is who?
Happ is the ball that hit him.
He should be fine. Nobody said anything about that. Other than you got him on the side of the foot, he should be fine.
So there you go. Jay Happ took that ball off the side of the foot. That was the third batter he faced in the sixth inning. He'd given up the double to Caleb Cowart, then walked Gregorio Petit, and then Cole Calhoun hit a ground ball right off the outside of his left foot, and he stayed in to give up back-to-back singles to Mike Trout and Albert Pujols, both of which were on hard-hit ground balls. But he seems to be fine. Jay Happ hadn't lost, by the way, since June 6th. He'd had 11 straight winning decisions and 12 starts, and is 17-4 right now. Blue Jays lose 6-3 to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. And we're taking your calls. Riley is in Latman, Saskatchewan. Hello, Riley.
Hey, man, how's it going today?
Good. How are the prairies?
Oh, they're not too bad. A little bit of rain here or there, but other than that, weather's been good. You guys
good.
Got a little bit of rain in Toronto, I heard.
Yes, we did.
I'm right on.
Maybe the same rain.
Yeah. So I got two questions here for you.
Yeah.
I was wondering, is there any way that we could hit Dickie for the rest of the year?
Why?
Okay, the only reason I'm saying is because we got Toli back catching him, and Martin's been so hot.
Yep.
I just feel like how you even having Martin in the DH spot is just, it kind of throws off his routine. It'd be good there to just keep him as is catching. And
yeah, you want Russ Martin to catch each of the last 35 games of the season?
Well, no, but I mean, we got a better hitter than Tolley out there to bat catch there for guys.
Bat catch is not a word. But to your theory, Russ Martin was the DH on Tuesday night. Tuesday night, by the way, R.A. Dickey gave up 2 runs on 6 hits over 6 2/3 innings, which for some reason made you want to remove him from the rotation. But when Martin was the DH, he went 3 for 3. So your suggestion that it takes him out of his routine would seem not to stand up to the light of truth.
I'm just saying, like, to have Tolley in, like, the lineup, it just kind of throws everything out of whack. He's not that great of a hitter there to be in there.
No backup catcher is a good hitter.
Yeah, all right. My second question there was, who would you be grabbing there for a left-hander in the bullpen? I mean, we are going to need one, but where would you go for it?
I don't think you have much of a choice. I think that, you know, it would be nice to have a dependable lefty who could get lefties out in the bullpen, and the Blue Jays certainly do not have one of those. But you're stuck now with getting whoever slips through waivers or whoever you can claim. The best option might be Francisco Liriano, but you can't move Francisco Liriano to the bullpen as long as you're in this six-man rotation because you're trying to protect Aaron Sanchez's innings. So the option of what lefty you're going to get is whatever lefty slips through waivers. And if you don't get one, then you have to be secure in having Biagini, Benoit, Grilly, and Asuna closing out games for you.
All right, well, that's fair enough. Sounds good there to me, man. You have yourself a good rest of the night.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. Keep listening out there in the West, or the Central, sorry. Blake is in Stayner. Hey, Blake.
How are you doing tonight?
Doing all right, and I have to congratulate my producer,
good.
Mike Boffa.
I know, and I've asked you the same question you've been asked 7 times, but I would like to congratulate you on answering the Josh Tolley question for the 7th time this season.
7th? And this is game number 127. That's at least the 400th time I've answered that question.
Oh, I know. I called you back in May when we were having the Leafs fan talk about everybody panics and everybody keeps complaining about the bullpen and going on about how we don't have a lefty in the bullpen. But if Cecil shut everybody out tonight, right, then everybody would be like, oh, Cecil was the best pick. We don't need to bring up another bullpen member. We need to bring up another batter.
I don't know that that's true. I think it would take more than just one more good outing from Brett Cecil to get people off his back.
True. I agree with you. But when he does perform, everybody calls in and says right away that how they're on his back.
You got to turn your radio down, Blake. I'm hearing an echo. So turn your radio down,
please. Okay, so everybody has been supporting Brett Cecil's run last year and everything, and then they're trying to figure out what the 5, 6, and 7 inning is going to be covered. Brett Cecil, he's blown a couple games, but I think he's kind of come back and made his presence known, but blown a couple games in the process, which happens. And we're still in the hunt.
Yeah. He has shown that he cannot be relied upon right now in big spots. I think that's fair to say. Don't you?
Yes. Yep, I agree.
Yeah.
But this
is the issue.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, you were going to ask something?
No, I was going to ask, is everybody's trying to figure out how we're going to clean up our 5th, 6th, and 7th inning, right? Because we already
have. I don't think anybody's worried about the 5th and 6th. I mean, the starters have been going 6 with their eyes closed pretty much all season long, and I don't know that there's a reason to expect that not to continue. And it seems like if you need a guy in the 5th, like if you're getting blown out, you're going to Scott Feldman. If you need a guy in the 6th, then that's Joe Biagini. So I think that's solved.
Yeah, but when you're facing lefties, though, is what we've had the issue with last year as well, which Cecil was lights out.
Right.
What I'm saying,
Cecil was lights out against everybody last year.
Lights out with the lefty this year.
Yeah, Cecil was lights out against everybody last year. Didn't matter, exactly. Lefty, righty, exactly. Whoever. And I think, and I want to move on to some other people, but I think we can get too caught up in you need a lefty, you need a guy who gets lefties out, you need someone. Look, Jason Grilley's getting everybody out. Roberto Osuna's getting everybody out. Joe Biagini's getting everybody out. Joaquin Benoit has done a very good job of getting everybody out. I'm fine with letting Jason Grilley or Roberto Osuna pitch to David Ortiz in a playoff game. I don't think you need a lefty just for the sake of having it be a lefty. It would be great, but I think it's a luxury, and right now it's one the Blue Jays don't have. Mel in Toronto. Hello, Mel.
Thanks, Mark, for taking my call. Hi, Mike.
I love how you always thank the producer. It's so nice.
I always do. Yes, everybody thanks you, nice. But you don't take the call. They do. A little disappointing, but you know what? At the beginning of the year, if anybody would have said, would Jay Happ be 17-4? Nobody would have believed that. So to me, it's a blip. But a couple of good things. One, my namesake, Melvin, came through tonight, and I'm so proud of him, and I'm delighted to see three hits and couple of doubles. Jose hit the ball hard. I appreciate that. And I think the only mistake really that was made was not letting Biagini finish off that inning.
But even so, I mean, after that, the Jays didn't, they got two hits, right? After, when Cecil walked, they were still down 4-2. The Blue Jays didn't get a fourth run. So,
right.
You know, that's when... I'll give you Biagini finishing the inning. And for me, there's no reason Biagini shouldn't have finished that inning. But if you're looking for a spot to get Brett Cecil going in, I'm fine with putting him in when you're down by two runs.
Right. And the fact that we're playing against a last-place team but have two superlative batters, you can't expect to win all three. And when Mr. Molitor comes in, we'll have a lot of muzzle and maybe we'll take care of the Twins, and I hope we will. I think the big expectation, of course, is what August and September showed us last year. They were banging and hitting and winning, but they were winning big, and we haven't seen that a lot this year, and hopefully they're going to turn it around, and we're going to see all the guys playing in the lineup, and perhaps we'll see the hitting come back, and I think the pitching is going to carry us. I like your analogy to the bullpen being fine with the guys we have, and we don't have to worry about a lefty. The other guys are doing fine.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mel. Appreciate the call. I think so. I don't know if they're ever going to get back to the bashing that they did last year. Certainly haven't shown that this year, even though it's reasonably similarly the same cast of characters, although they haven't exactly had the full lineup very often, only five times. We'll see. I'm looking forward to an exciting last 35 games of this season, and they might only go 20-15. And if they do that, they still win 91 games, and they still make the playoffs, and maybe still win the division. And that's 15 losses. Angela in Kinmount. Hey, Angela.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Good. Where's Kinmount?
Kinmount's near Bob Cajun.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, it's cool up here. We're on vacation. And I just want to say, first of all, thanks for taking my call. Secondly, I'm a girl, but I'm a 60-plus-year-old girl, and I've been around the game for my whole life.
People are calling you sexist right now.
So we kind of understand the game here, and this is a yes-but call.
Okay.
So I don't want you to beat me up.
Promise not to beat you up.
Okay, so... it's about performance. Love the Jays. I have no beefs at all about their starting pitchers. I do have a concern about the six-man rotation. I think it's kind of screwing the kids up. I'd love to see them go back to five, but I understand the concerns with Sanchez. Bullpen, I think, is fantastic. Love Grilley. I think Cecil is actually going to come back. I don't know if he'll be who he was last year, but I'm really pro-Cecil, and Osuna is like God. So happy with that. My big issue is this. It's the bats. And even before I'd called you tonight, I heard you talking about, you know, we've only had like five times this year when our top eight guys have been in the lineup. Like, nice. I get all of that.
Yeah.
I'm just getting really nervous. I'm not panicking, but with 35 games left, you and the skipper and everybody else I hear keep saying, it's okay, the bats are coming back, the bats are coming back. I worry about that, and I just think as August 31st hits, I'm just thinking, do we need some new bats? I don't mean to judge the guys like Bautista tonight, great, you know. That was fantastic how we got the sacrifice and RBI in the ninth. Great, great, great. But I'm really worried about the bat. I don't see it.
They're third in the league in runs scored.
Hmm?
Third in the league in runs scored.
Really, eh?
Yep.
Still.
Third in the league in runs scored.
Jeez.
I don't know why everyone refuses to acknowledge this. You know, it's been a rough offensive month for the Blue Jays. It has. And like I said off the top, a rough offensive month, and yet here they are 12-10 in August. And that's good when you're playing not at your best. And most of the month without Jose Bautista and Kevin Pillar. There's nothing to be worried about.
So, you know, a real quick segue then.
Real quick, because you got like 45 seconds.
Okay. The second reason for my call was a bit of an idea on the program. Love your program. Lots of chicks loving the game. We've got a lot of fans just hopping on. We're filling the ballpark every night. I'd love to see a show where it's a bit of a primer, teaching women, and by the way, some men who really don't understand the game, the basics of the game, have a call in. There's no stupid question. If you want to learn a bit more about the game, call in. Then they can really appreciate your post-game talk, Mike. Anyway, that's it.
Okay, thank you for the call. I think I would get in a lot of trouble if I suggested, here's a show for women to learn about baseball. I think there are a lot of women out there who know a lot about baseball. I would always love to hear from more women on the show. We don't get a lot of women calling, and I would love to open that up and do that more often and get more, but I'm not going to suggest, hey, women don't know anything about baseball, so call in and learn something. The phone lines are always open every game, and people can call in and ask whatever they want. There are no stupid questions. And you can also do the Home Hardware Ask the Experts thing, right? And we'll answer that. But there are no stupid questions. There are just, you know, angry people, and those are the ones that kind of things can get a little bit heated with. Thank you for the call. Thanks for all the calls. Sorry to those of you to whom we could not get. We got to go. Blue Jays lose 6-3 to the Angels. Post game's brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. It's the Sportsnet Radio Network. That's going to do it for us. Blue Jays fall 6-3 to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. But the Boston Red Sox lost 2-1 to the Tampa Bay Rays. The Baltimore Orioles lost 4-0 to the Washington Nationals. So the Blue Jays not only lose, but they outscore their competition in the AL East. They're still tied with the Red Sox, a game up on Baltimore. Tomorrow, the Twins come to town having lost 7 straight. It's Francisco Liriano against Pat Dean. We're on at 7 Eastern. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry, Joe, Tom, Emil, and Boffo, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night.